Last week, we continued on the series in James, the book of James, and last week we talked about the tongue, and we said, out of the overflowing of our hearts, our tongue speaks. And James addressed this idea of coming out of our same mouth is praising and cursing. Right after that section in James 3, we come to this part, James 3:13, about wisdom. Wise deeds are a sign of a wise life. Wisdom is applying truth to everyday circumstances. Or Moses, as he prepared God's people for entrance into the promised land, declared in Deuteronomy 4 this, I have taught you statutes and ordinances as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land which you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of peoples. Or Solomon in the wisdom book in Proverbs says this, opening words, that we might know wisdom and instruction, understand words of insight, and receive instruction in wise dealing, doing what is right, just, and fair. And what we're going to look at this morning is this. That I believe in James' day and in our day, there's this oxymoron thing happening. That James talks about wisdom and humility. He seems to suggest that wisdom does not need a bullhorn. That people know how wise you are sometimes without opening up your mouth. And he goes on to say that true wisdom pervades their humble life. And so in verse 13, we say, who is wise, understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Wisdom cannot start unless we have knowledge. So it begins with knowledge. We have facts and things that we read and understand. And sometimes with knowledge, we think we have knowledge and what that looks like, but sometimes we go to the wrong places for that knowledge. And then he goes on and says, we have knowledge, but we also have to have understanding. What are perceptions of this? Understanding helps us to make sense of the facts that we have in front of us, how we should function. That we have knowledge, the data, and now we have to figure out the understanding of that. And what James says is that you can have knowledge and you can have understanding. But he says that sometimes this knowledge stays in our brain and it doesn't get to our feet. It doesn't have walking our wisdom. We have it up here. James suggests that wisdom needs to get to our shoes. It needs to have movement, experience, walking, just not talking. And for most of us here today, maybe not all of us, we have a lot of knowledge about God's Word. In fact, we have so much knowledge about God's Word. And yet, we have a difficult time with the understanding. Oh yeah, we understand things. But James is saying you can have all the facts in the world. You can open up your Bible. You can do a devotional every day. And you can even look up what this may mean. And so you have that understanding. But he says we don't put our shoes to this, we can never have wisdom. In other words, he's saying that anything, pick any subject or issue, we could say, what do I know? And when I know this knowledge, what do I understand about it? And the last part, he says, which is the wisdom part, is understanding, what do I do with this? Without the last part, without the power and the presence of God, we cannot possibly have wisdom. Wisdom is something that enables us to use knowledge rightly. And so James asked, who is wise among you? And he gives the answer, by his good life, let him show his works in humanity. Now, the other week, I had the opportunity to spend a little bit of time with the youth. And the youth enlighten me sometimes on certain things, but do you know that December 15th is a big day for people? You know what December 15th is? Anyone? December 15th this year? It's the opening of the new Star Wars movie, The Last Jedi. I'm not a Star Wars fan, but you know, when you're with the youth, you learn many things. So, Star Wars, but the Star Wars idea is that there's this temptation to give in to the dark side of the Force. That the dark side is this seductive, appeals to our desires, selfish ambition. And the good side involves a self-denial and self-sacrifice. And we struggle and are tempted every day. We face similar decisions. Will we go God's way or the world's way? Although I will admit that our decisions don't appear to have the fate of galaxies hanging in the balance, don't be fooled. If we want to walk with God, we need to walk his way. And so James talks about two kinds of wisdom. He said there's this earthly wisdom. In 14 and 15 and 16, it says this, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. And then he goes on later about the second kind of wisdom, which is this wisdom from above. Now, as I've been studying James and trying to think about themes and things that come out, one thing has struck me this week. James seems to really like this idea of mixing, or should I say, not mixing things that do not belong together. An illustration we had was this praise and cursing out of the same mouth, or saying things. James gave this image of salt water with fresh water, and out comes salt water. Now, one thing that I have realized in life that does mix well together is iced tea and lemonade. And Arnold Palmer, I think, got it right. I think the two together is very tasty. But James suggests that mixing these two kinds of wisdoms, like he would describe it as like adding lemon juice to milk, it curdles and ruins it. James is suggesting that mixing two kinds of wisdom does not work. You cannot mix godly wisdom with worldly wisdom. And that's why I love the West African proverb that says this: the one who tries to walk two roads will split his pants. That's funny, but true. And I can admit to you this morning that I have tried that, and I have split many pants. I'm glad my wife can sew. Because it happens so easily. We try to mix a little bit of earthly and a little bit of wisdom from above. Even in, it was common in Greek theater that one actor would play many parts. And he was called the hypocrite because he wore all kinds of hats. And I think James is speaking to the people that he wrote the letter to and also to us about maybe we're being hypocrites, or maybe we're trying to speak out of two sides of our mouths, or maybe we're trying to walk two roads. And we know the splitting pants is not pretty in public. But he talks about this earthly wisdom, this characteristics of jealousy and selfish ambition. He seems to suggest that while we say that we are followers of God and that we follow God, that we're maybe more interested in the victory of opinions than a righteous life that God desires. That maybe this earthly wisdom that we try to grab onto and mix, and Sunday morning we come here and we're all about wisdom from above. And then the question is, does that carry out with we walk out from here in our daily lives and things come at us, and it's so easy to revert back to this earthly wisdom. Jesus said, watch out for false prophets and teachers. By their fruit, you will recognize them. And so we have to admit that to be wise, we need to address our feelings. I remember a song by Elvis Presley, and I think others. It says, if it feels so right, how can it be so wrong? And I think that's so true in my life and maybe yours. If it feels so good, how could it be so wrong? We tend to believe in our feeling, what feels right, rather than God's revelations. And so if James was talking about feelings, he would say that we should adjust our feelings to his word. But earthly wisdom and the temptation that we have is this, that we adjust our faith to our feelings. Because if we're truthful, we like Elvis Presley's song, if it feels so right, how can it be so wrong? God says this, but I'm really feeling this, God. And then we try to call upon Arnold Palmer and says, can we mix this together to make it taste good, to be palatable for us? And James would suggest that that's just your selfish ambitions. Now let me flesh this out this morning. I think he might be talking about something that if he was here today, this is what he might say. You think on a Sunday morning you come here and you hear about the wisdom from above, but it doesn't take long to walk outside these walls and the earthly wisdom starts creeping in subtle ways. And the subtle ways are this. Listening to our favorite TV network, our favorite radio show, our favorite blogger, our one author that we love the most. And James is saying that may be good, but he cautions us, and today in this world that we live in is even more of this selfish ambitions that we have put an umbrella over it and call it wisdom. There's a lot of good people out there that have wisdom, yes. But as soon as we cross over and spend more time talking about what someone else says, or this blogger, or this tweet, or this, and do that, and it starts becoming earthly wisdom that takes over our lives, and we buy into it hook, line, and sinker. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, we still believe in Jesus. And we find ourselves becoming bullhorns of earthly wisdom. Bullhorns of earthly wisdom. And James says, you need to control your tongue, because out of the overflowing of your heart, your tongue speaks, and wisdom speaks. And then he goes on to say, well, it's not only earthly wisdom. He says there's this other wisdom, this godly wisdom. He said, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peaceable or peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. This wisdom from above is a gift for all of us. All of us can receive this wisdom from above that helps us sow seeds of peace and unity in the church and outside of the church. But this wisdom from above is a gift. It's available to all of us. There was a husband and wife who had been married 20 years who were riding down the road. As they were riding down the road, a young couple passed them. And the young woman was all snugly up against the young man, his arm around her shoulder. And the wife said to the husband, "Look, look, honey, we used to be like that. Why don't we snuggle like that anymore?" The husband smiled and he gripped the wheel and he said, "I never moved." You see, if we feel distant from God, if we don't accept and receive this gift from above, God says, "I haven't moved." It's a gift that is available. Maybe it's time for us to return to this wonderful gift that we have for controlling our tongue and to seeking wisdom. That it's not based on what the world says and we get sucked into a vacuum without even knowing it. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take an inventory of your life. Can you do that? Take an inventory. An inventory to see how much wisdom Monday through Saturday comes from here, the gift that we have been given, or how much wisdom seeps into our lives and controlling our lives. James says that in the fall, there's a harvest. I visualize the heat of the summer, and the storms of the summer have passed. And James sees this harvest. This harvest, he says, is peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. That what we sow, if we sow peace, then there's a harvest. And it's wonderful. And the harvest cannot come from human wisdom. This harvest comes in right living. You see, James says that we need to have knowledge and understanding. We need to put feet to the floor and we get wisdom. You might not know this, but I don't know exactly where James was born. But I have a feeling that he was from Missouri. Well, okay, maybe not Missouri, but he has kind of Missouri flavor because he's one of these show me guys, okay? Show me. Don't just talk and do things, but show me. He talks about this wisdom from God that produces humility. We don't need a bullhorn to express that. He says the wisdom from the world, so you don't even know it, but it produces pride and it seeps in. And you don't even know it until you take an inventory. So imagine this. Imagine you are in New York City subway station. You will see these trains coming in and out of the station. But you only get a general view of what's going on in your life, and what's happening there at the subway station. However, if you get the opportunity to step into the control room of the New York City subway station, you will see a large display of these tiny little lights blinking, representing each little train throughout that system. In a glance, you will be able to see on that board the entire situation of the subway system through the eyes of those in control. You will see why one engine is stopped and why another has been diverted and another sits on a sidetrack. And J.I. Packer says this: "The mistake that is commonly made is to suppose that this is an illustration of what God does when he bestows wisdom. That God gives a person insight into the meaning and the purpose of events going on around us. And we then have the ability to see why God has done what he has done in a particular case, and also get to see what he's going to do next." And he goes on to say that people who think that this is what wisdom is, imagine that if they walk close enough to God, they will get front row seats into God's command center and will understand everything that happens. But he goes on to say, but God's wisdom doesn't work this way. God's wisdom is more like learning to drive a car. When you drive a car, it is important to make the right responses to the constantly changing scene. You have to judge how fast to go, how much distance to keep between the next car, and when to put on the brakes. Drivers simply try to see and do the right thing in the actual situation that presents itself. Having wisdom from God does not mean we understand everything that is going to happen because of our superior knowledge. It means we do the right thing as life comes along. If I could sum this up today for James 3, 13 to 18, I'd say it's this: wisdom begins and ends with God. And we like mixing wisdom, earthly wisdom, with wisdom from above. But James reminds his readers and reminds us this, that wisdom does begin and end with God. And all we need to do is not maybe look this way too much, is to look up. And no matter how hard it may seem, and even if it feels so right, that we live as God wants us to live. I believe that's James' interpretation of wisdom.